We talk a lot about financial freedom and time freedom and all these things. The only way to do that is to scale up your business, build your process and systems so that things are repeatable, and then bring on the right people and put them in the right seats to execute those processes and systems. Then you can fully step out. What's up, everybody? My name is Mike Shogren, here with my co-host,
Emmanuel Pani.
We're part of a group of specialized real estate investors you've probably never heard of.
We didn't start with deep pockets or wealthy families, and we don't rely on 401ks, mutual funds, or traditional real estate investing.
In fact, many of us don't even own the properties that fund our freedom. If you ask the money experts out there, they'd say what we do is impossible, yet it's happening every single day.
It's happening through a new niche called short-term rentals.
We are Short-Term Rental Nation, and these are our secrets. What's going on, STR Nation? If you've been in the STR game for a while and you're looking to level up into boutique hotels, I've got a very special live training next Wednesday, April 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be breaking down my top three biggest mistakes I made when transitioning from hosting to hotelier, okay? There are a lot of similarities, but there are a few key differences that cost me a lot of time and money, and I want to break those down for you. And I'm also going to be interviewing two of our boardroom members, Kyle and Allie Fugit, who last year took down their very first boutique hotel, a 44-unit deal, very exciting project. And I wanted them to come on and also share what were some of the lessons that they learned when they made that transition. So if you're interested in that, we talk about it in the episode, and I didn't have the link, so I wanted to plug it right in here at the beginning. It's hotels.strsecrets.com to sign up for that. It's a completely free training. Again, that'll be on Wednesday, April 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's hotels.strsecrets.com. What's going on, STR Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the Short-Term Rental Secrets Podcast. I am your host, Mike Shogren, here as always with my main man and brother from another mother, Mr. Emmanuel Pani. What's up, E?
My brother, so good to see you. It's been a minute that we've done a solo show. I am super stoked. I love our solo shows.
Yeah, man. So. And I've kind of been off the grid for a few weeks, taking a little sabbatical, which is good.
Yeah. So
I haven't done that, ever. So.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I don't think that, or at least since I've known you, and like we're now about to clock in, when did we meet? 2015? So it's been a minute. I don't think you've ever taken any time off. I don't even know if you've taken any like proper vacations. Like, you know what I mean? Like anything. Like
I just get Anthony and bored.
You know? Yeah, going to the chalet, but like then you're always doing stuff. You know what I mean? So how you been, man?
I'm good, dude. So the baby's officially a month old now. So she's doing good. Mom's doing good. Little man's doing good as a big brother. He's loving it. And yeah, man, it's interesting. And we'll definitely talk about this today. But it's like, you know, when big things happen in life, positive or negative, it's always I always find myself reflecting, right? It's a good reflection point of, all right, what do I really want out of this life? You know what I mean? Just like macro level and just like reevaluating everything, you know, questioning everything. And we'll talk about some of the things that like came out of that. But I had a lot of good time where I didn't respond to text messages. I didn't open my email. I didn't open my computer for over a week. A lot of people are like, dude, are you okay? Like, I just like didn't respond. And it was good. And I just did some journaling and a lot of good thoughts came. So if you're a CEO or an exec in your business, give yourself that space, man. I got pages and pages of notes from journaling and just different ideas coming to me. And it was really good, man. I really enjoyed it. So I think we're going to make that a regular thing. I'm going to Florida. We'll hook up over the summer, but I'm going down for 6 weeks over the summer. So I doubt I'm going to be off the grid for 6 weeks. I don't think I could handle that, but I think I'd go stir crazy.
You got to like, you know, you got to crawl and then walk. And then
but run, at least a week or two, you know, and if nothing else, you know, it's a good discipline to just force myself to unplug. And the benefits that came out of that were phenomenal, you know, personally and for the business. So,
yeah, dude, yeah, I love that. I'm very happy for you. I'm very proud that you were able to do it. Because again, like I have a dad that is incapable of unplugging since I've known him. Right. So my dad is the guy that is in August in Sardinia on the beach, under the umbrella with his computer. And like, he loves it, right? He finds purpose in it. He loves it. And as his son, bro, like I grew up watching that. I'm like, I like that kind of, but I don't want that all the time, right? And like just the ability of just, I don't know. I like la bella vita, you know what I mean? Like I like enjoying life and I like, you know what I mean? Like just kind of flowing and going through things, you know? So it's been, so yeah, I love that for you. And somehow, guys, like we're at the end of March and like the first quarter.
Q1 is done, man.
It's finished, you know what I mean? And so at the end of each quarter, like I always like to like kind of like look at the quarter and be like, okay, so like, how do we do, right? Like we had expectations from the beginning of the year. What's happening? You know what I mean? Like how do we do with those? What things are we recommitting to? What things are we like retightening ship on? And also like what things are we letting go? Because I think there is an element of looking at what your goals are and realizing that you haven't done any progress on something. It's not a thing of like, I need to do this. It's like, if you haven't done it over the last 3 months, maybe it's time to get it off your books. Because you clearly didn't, you know?
It goes back to The One Thing by Jay Papazan and Gary Keller. And Jay's coming to our next boardroom event. So I'm stoked to meet him.
I'm super stoked. Yeah.
Really, really fired up for that. But I go back to that book all the time because it gives you so much focus, right? And to your point, if you're finding that you're not doing certain things, there's essentially two options, right? One is, do we even need to do this thing? Or two, who should be the one executing this thing? It might not be you. Most likely, it's probably not you. Like if you're not getting it done, there's something there that you need to look into, you know? And I'm a big fan of who, not how, you know? And that's, we'll dovetail into that in this episode. You know, I'm all about creating my perfect week. And we were talking about this off air, and we talk about it with the students all the time in the mastermind. Like, I'm a big believer in having a bucket list and all those things and planning cool trips and doing all that stuff. But at the end of our life, it's really an accumulation of your weeks, like your average weeks, not when you're traveling, not when you're doing all this stuff. The majority of your time, you're just having a regular week. So if you're intentional with how you structure that week, you're going to be a lot more fulfilled and you're not going to be living for that next vacation. You know what I mean? You'll be excited about it, but you're not going to be escaping from a life that you're not enjoying. It's different. So when I look at, you know, this last quarter as an example, having a baby, you know, right on the heels of WealthCon, which was a ton of work, a ton of planning, which was amazing. Great event. The last month was really just a reflection point again for me of like, okay, here's what's in the pipeline. Here's where we're going. Do I want to pivot? Do I want to delegate? You know, and I made some moves and, you know, brought some different people on the team and did some different things to figure out, okay, what is my highest and best use? What do I like doing that adds the most amount of value to my business? And everything else should go to other people on the team. And if you're just starting, I get it. You're not going to have that team, but that should be the goal, right? We talk a lot about financial freedom and time freedom and all these things. The only way to do that is to scale up your business, build your process and systems so that things are repeatable, and then bring on the right people and put them in the right seats to execute those processes and systems. Then you can fully step out. Until you do that, though, I don't care how much AI you have, how much software you have, if you don't have other human beings that are executing on your SOPs, you'll be forever tied to your phone and to your business, right? At this point, I don't need to be involved in the day-to-day. I don't, right? And that's why it was a good test for me to just completely unplug and just let the team do their thing because they can. And they're like, dude, go away. Leave me alone. We've got this, right? That, in my opinion, that should be the view. Like, are you building a business that's going to work for you? Or are you building a business that you're working for the business? And I think that's such a key mental differentiator that you need to get clarity on and set goals around when you're starting and growing your portfolio around setting it up in a way. And there's no right or wrong way, right? Like you look at like Bill Faith and I, we run our businesses very differently. It's like him and Chris. He's responding to the guests. He's sending them videos, all that stuff. And it works for him and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to a guest in 4 or 5 years at this point. You know what I mean? It's just very different and they both work. But my goal was to work no more than 4 hours a week on that business and to craft my perfect week of what I like to spend time on, which is doing stuff like this and events and coaching and doing all that stuff. So get clarity around that and then set those metrics and those benchmarks of like, okay, if I need 10K a month to leave my job, great. Then how much payroll do I need to have or how many assistants do I need to have maybe it's more like 15. So then I'll actually have the people that can run the processes and the systems so that I actually have time freedom to do what I do. Otherwise, you're just giving yourself another job. It's more fulfilling. It's more fun because you're working for yourself, but it's still a job.
Yeah. And it's also more work.
It brings me back to a conversation I had with Rock years ago, right? In Montreal, before I got into real estate or anything else, I still have a photography business. And I remember telling him about it. I was super proud of myself. This is like 2015. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm making an extra like $4,000 or $5,000 a month. It's awesome. I've got this business going. And he looks at me and he goes, dude, you don't have a business. I was like, what are you talking about, man? Yes, I do. I have this business. And he goes, no, you have a job. If you aren't out taking pictures and editing them and doing the contracts and doing the invoicing and doing the books, you don't make money. That's not a business. That's a job. That's a side hustle. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I was like, wow. And every once in a while, you need a mentor that's going to punch you in the face and give you a wake-up call. And after that, I ended up hiring an assistant, a summer intern, trained her up. She loved doing what she was doing. That business still goes today. I have not done a single thing for that business other than deposit checks for the last 5 years. And I just give her a big percentage of whatever the business brings in. And she runs everything. And that was my first taste of a little like true micro business with SOPs and systems and people that can execute that I don't have to trade time for money.
Yeah. And also the value of finding the right people, right? Like, I think it's very important for you to understand that, like, as you're growing and scaling, if you're going on vacation or doing anything like that, or need some time off, and your team's response is not like, yes, please leave and let us do what we're doing, you have the wrong team. Right. And it's like very much into like the fact of like, hey, find people that love that business like it's their own, where you respect them and you treat them well, and then let them run that business. So it's a catch 22, in my opinion. A lot of the times it's either the business owner is not willing or ready to let go as of yet, or two, you're hiring the wrong people. So when you have the combination of those two things, then you just have a bunch of people. And we love giving this example, right? Like, not my monkeys, not my circus. But you have a bunch of people that will come into your office with their monkeys, and then they just leave their monkeys in your office and just walk away. That is a clear indication of not having the right SOPs in place from your business as a business owner, and then having the wrong team members that don't take ownership and don't understand, like, hey, this is why you're here, right? And like, to alleviate this for me.
That's a cultural thing, bro, as a leader. Like, that's a culture thing. I'll give you a great example of that with Danny last week. So Danny's my videographer, and we have our boardroom event in April. And I was like, hey, man, this is the next event, blah, blah, blah. He's like, hey, sorry, man, I'm filming, I think, for Jesse Vasquez that week. I'm like, okay. And then he wanted to just end it. I'm like, cool. So you're making that my problem now. I'm like, I just looked at it as a training opportunity. I'm like, here's an example, bud, of like what extreme ownership looks like. So I get it. I'm not asking you to cancel your stuff with Jesse. That's fine. What I would love to see from you is, if that happens, say, hey, you know what? I can't make it, but let me go through my Rolodex and I'll find somebody that can film it for you. Right. And he ended up doing that. But that's an example of somebody coming to you with a problem with a monkey and trying to leave that problem with you, instead of you not being a jerk about it, but just like, hey, this is what I mean when I'm talking about our core value of extreme ownership. I get it. You can't do it. Find a solution. Own the problem, find the solution, and bring me that solution. Don't leave me with the problem.
Yeah, because then what's the point of you being here in the great scheme of things, right? And understanding that. The other thing that you said, which is applicable in general for me when I look at designing a perfect week, but also looking into like designing like and creating this great business, is like going towards the things that you like and starting taking away all the stuff that you don't like. And again, guys, like, if you're just starting, we get it. Like, we all did things that we didn't want to do, right? But it's really understanding how many of those things that you don't like you're doing, and how much time they're taking away from the stuff that you do like. And how do you start getting the bigger rocks, right? There are certain things that you don't like doing that are bigger than others. So getting those things off your plate. And then the amazing thing is, like, you immediately start raising your energy without doing anything else. Just the fact that you let go of things that you don't like doing immediately bumps you up. And you realize that you don't have to do anything else, really, to just raise your energy and raise your excitement about life. then starting to let go of the things that you don't like doing and leaning into what you like. And this is applicable for the business, but also for the perfect week, right? The perfect people in your life, the perfect week, the perfect activities is like lean into, I like this. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel fulfilled. This gets my juices going, like lean into that and then be mindful of the stuff that doesn't feel that way and be like, okay, I know I can't get rid of this now, or I can delegate this now, or I can pass this on now, but what is the quickest I can do it? When is the quickest I can do it? Who could do this for me?
Yeah, 100%. And I'll give you guys a quick tip on, we do this with the folks in the mastermind. Let's see if I can share my screen real quick. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see this. But one thing that we do is I have people do a 2-week time study. Okay. So all that this is, it's a simple Google sheet from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m., whatever hours you're awake. And ideally, you want to do it for 7 days, like even through the weekend. And you do this for 2 weeks. You print this out. Don't do it on a phone. Print it out. And every 15 minutes, write down what you're doing. Write it down. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, you're going to go through and you're going to categorize all of these into 3 buckets. One is like work, like technical work in the business, like talking to guests, talking to cleaners, doing all that stuff. 2 is strategic work, working on the business. And then 3 is just like any other personal stuff, things like that. And what you're going to find is a lot of it, you have like wasted time of, oh, wow, I just spent 20 minutes on IG, or, you know, I was in the bathroom scrolling on Facebook on break, whatever. You're going to find a lot of inefficiencies. But when you go through and you categorize them, then you're going to start to see, oh, wow, I'm really focused on a lot of this technical stuff. It could be managing the cleaners. It could be reviewing photos. It could be creating listings. It could be managing contract, whatever it is. Then you get a sense of like, okay, what should be my first hire? Right? My first hire was a part-time VA. She worked from noon to 5 with a 1-hour break. And this is when I still had a job, right? So it was part-time, 5 days a week. So when I was at work, what I found was it was stressing me out and taking time away from my job and from other things that I needed to do. So I would have them make sure that the prior guests checked out, make sure that the cleaners show up, QC the cleaners' photos, and make sure that everything was done. Make sure the next guest had their code to get in, and ideally see the next guest check in and then hand it back to me, right? And then over time, as I grew the portfolio and got more revenue, I was able to take that person on full time and then give them more responsibility, and eventually grow and grow and grow the team. But if you don't know where your time is going, then you can't, you're out of control. It's just like, oh, I don't know where the time goes. Well, you're not paying attention to where you're spending your time. If you really want to design your perfect week, you got to know where it's going and then be intentional with it.
And I think the biggest thing with that is just like the awareness. So like do the time study, and like without judgment, right? Like look at it, do the time study, and then
be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't judge yourself. Like at the end of 2 weeks, you're like, okay, I spend every day an hour on Instagram. If that does something for you. So if you tell me like that is how I decompress at the end of the day, I don't give a shit. But just have the awareness that it is what you're doing. 1. 2, have the awareness of like, oh, if the story you're running is I have no time for nothing and I'm so overwhelmed, this is where this comes in. All we want is awareness of what the situation is, the real situation. And then without judgment, being like, okay, I am doing this and this is the reason why. Okay, perfect. Then can I create other efficiencies elsewhere if this one thing is important for me? And then just have awareness. Because the thing is, without the awareness, you can't change shit anyways, right? So you got to have the awareness of the situation overall without judgment of it, and then just move forward. I think a lot of people are afraid of doing things like this, like a budget, because they're afraid of the reality that you're still feeling. Like, guys, you still fucking know that you're wasting time. So just get clear with it. Like, look at it. Like, look at this monster face on and see it for what it is. It's this year, this year, this year. Perfect. What are we doing now? But if you look away, you're still feeling it. You still have the anxiety. You're like, I'm not being efficient with my time. And you don't have the awareness of knowing how, why, when, because you're just afraid of looking at this thing. Just look at it. Because also as a business owner, guys, like nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody else is going to give you the freedom. Nobody else is going to check your time. Nobody else is going to make sure you're efficient. Nobody else is going to make sure your team is efficient. If you want, got to do it. If not, quit complaining. That's your other option, right? Your other option is just be quiet. Because if you're not willing to do the things, then don't complain. Because it's either or, right? Either do the time study, do the budget, no, bring awareness to your life, or don't, but don't complain about it. Don't complain you don't have money. Don't complain you don't have time. Don't complain about any of those things, because then you're creating this cycle and this story. You're like, oh, poor me. Nah, why? Poor you, why? For what?
Yeah. So the point of all this is to, now that it's the end of Q1, start to reevaluate. If you're not moving the needle, look at what your goals are and then ask yourself, what's the one thing I can do this quarter or this month or this week that can move me closer to that? If I could only do one thing, what would make everything else easier or unnecessary to do? And then start to get a grip on your time. Because I get it. Like, I was working 60 hours a week. I had a kid in the hospital when I was starting this whole thing up. I get it. Like, people are busy. I understand. But at the end of the day, that's your problem. So you can either complain about it or take control of it, like he was saying. And the way to do that is to analyze where you're spending your time. You will always find pockets of time if things are important to you. You just have to be disciplined to do that, put in that effort, and hold yourself accountable. Or join an accountability group. E and I were in an accountability group together for years. It's like, hey, why didn't you do that, man? You said you wanted this. This was important for you. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Like, do the thing. Do the thing.
Yeah. Do the hard things. Do the hard things. Have the hard conversations. And like, on the hard conversation topic, there is an update on my life, which is kind of like on the doing the hard things and having the hard conversation and understanding that, like, by you avoiding having the hard conversation, doing the hard things, it does not make the thing go away, right? Over time, it just gets bigger, it gets more difficult. The conversation just gets bigger. So Natasha and I have recently decided 6 months ago to like go our separate ways. And like, Mike is one of my best friends. So he knows like the situation, he knows how long we've been working on it and everything else. And guys, it's super shitty. But it's just like, you got to do the hard things. Because at the same time, like, what happens is like, the only person that is unsatisfied about your life, it's you. And like, the only person that is feeling that you're not living out to your true potential, it's you. And at the end of the day, when life is over, it's you with you. And all you're going to look at yourself and be like, why didn't we have that conversation? No matter what the situation was going to be. Like, no matter what the outcome would have been, no matter what, how difficult it would have been, because difficult is like, it's going to be difficult regardless, right? Like, not having the hard conversation doesn't prevent the difficulties in your life. But what it does do, it allows you to do something, right? It allows for movement to happen. It allows for like things to change. And it allows you to like have the moment where you look at yourself in the mirror and you feel proud. Right? You like look at yourself and you're like, you know what I mean? Like, even when you're like, maybe it's not all the way through, maybe you didn't say it the way you wanted to, it wasn't as graceful as you wanted to, you're like, bro, we've been wanting to do this for 6 months. We've been wanting to do this for a year. We've been wanting to do this for 2 years. And you're like, I did it. Right? Like, how many people like want to fire somebody and you don't do it for the longest period of time? And then what happens? It sours, it gets worse. Your productivity gets worse, their productivity gets worse, your income gets worse. How many of those worse things wouldn't have happened if you would have just had the conversation early on? And so guys, just do the hard things, like have the hard conversations. And in the process, what I'm embracing a lot for myself lately is the concept of like, as I'm doing all of these things, giving myself grace in terms of like understanding like, this is difficult, this is scary, this is all those things, right? And never trying to have an idea of like, oh, how I think it should be, and just having grace of like how it actually is. How does it actually come out? How do you actually feel? And just have grace for yourself. And like, I think all of us see each other's outsides, and the outside doesn't show the struggles, the story, the situation inside. And so you're not giving yourself grace based on something that it's a projection of somebody's life based on your understanding of it. And just be nice. Just be, have grace for yourself and understand that, like, dude, doing the hard things is scary. Being single at 34, it's fucking scary. You know what I mean? Like, going back out there, going to events by myself, going to a wedding on my own, like, it's all scary experiences. But at the same time, I'm like, what am I going to do? Shrink at home? Go in my cave? Create a story? No. I still want to live my life. I still have ambitions, ideas, goals, dreams. Got to do the hard things. Because nobody else is going to do them for me.
100%, you know? Man. And that's, I talked about it in Nashville a bit too. Like, you know, people see us doing some larger deals, whether it's some of these big hotel deals, other things. You have to train yourself to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, anytime I do a deal, especially a big deal, there's always that fear, that discomfort, that like, oh man, am I doing the right thing? All of that. But if you're clear on what you want and why, you just have to embrace that and step through it. Otherwise, there's no growth personally and professionally, right? Stepping into that unknown, stepping into that fear. You know, when I was looking to leave my job years ago, I used to listen to Steve Harvey's jump video on YouTube, like on repeat every day when I was working out in the morning. If you haven't checked that out, it's phenomenal. It's
like, I remember the story. Yeah.
It's so good. But he talks about it. Like, the only way all successful people at one point, they had to make that jump, that leap, that decision that was scary, that, you know, I know this is the right thing for me. I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but I got to go for it, right? And so you just got to embrace those things and step through that fear, which is why I've always invested in mentors and masterminds and accountability groups and all those things. Because, you know, if I went to my mom or even my wife, you know, going through some of these big things, they're going to be like, you know what? Why don't you just relax? Why don't we just settle down? Like, you're okay. We're doing fine. We're doing okay. Like, and that's great. They do that because they love you. But you need those other people in your ear that are like, dude, just do it. You got to dig deep, man. Hell with the fear. Like, this is what you want. All right, let's go get it. Like, you got to push through, and you need those people in your ear too, because that your subconscious is going to want to backtrack you pretty quick when you get up against the wall and make some of those big decisions. Like, oh, it's not that bad. Come on. You know, we've been fine this long.
Mm-hmm.
Hell with that, man. Hell with that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been fine this long. To me, it's one of the most dangerous line of thinking that you can embrace in your life. Honestly, the being fine for this long, it's honestly something that you should never say to yourself. Because like, what is fine either? Like, fine is not even good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're saying like, we've been fine for this long. Fine is not even good. You've just kind of settled out of fear, out of whatever it is, for what, you know? And like, again, guys, like, there is going to be multiple arenas in your life where you're going to have to embrace this in, and at multiple times. So like, as you grow, you're going to come to your next ceiling in your life and how you look at yourself and what your paradigm is. And then you just have to kind of push through. And like, that is the one thing that you have to commit yourself to. It's like, anytime I feel myself hitting the ceiling, I am committed to like pushing through it no matter what.
100%. And in line with that, you know, a lot of people have hit me up over the last couple of years about getting into the hotel space, right? And so next week, or actually in a couple of days, by the time this podcast comes out, on Wednesday, April 3rd, from 2 p.m. Eastern, I've got it slotted for 90 minutes, but I'll do my best to keep it tight to 60. But I'm going to host a webinar on some of my biggest lessons from transitioning from STRs into hotels. And then I'm going to bring up two of our boardroom members who took down their first 44 unit hotel last year. And what were some of their learning lessons and, you know, that whole process. I would not, if you're brand new and you don't have any properties or you have like two SDRs, I wouldn't recommend this. This is going to be an advanced training. You got to learn how to walk before you run. But if you've been in the game a while and you've been considering getting into hotels, jump on that webinar. I will, I'll post the link down in the show notes or just send me a DM on any of the platforms. I'll get you the link. I wish I had it with me right now, but I don't. So I'll get that link to you guys, but it'll be next Wednesday, April 3rd at 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll get that link over to you guys, get you registered. It'll be a good time. Again, I'm going to cover all the different learning lessons because there are a lot of similarities, but there are some big differences that quite frankly punched me in the face when I got into this that cost me a bunch of money and time and massive stress when I got into my first hotel deal. And now we've done three of them and we're still learning all the time, right? But these are some big ones that you're going to want to watch out for and just be prepared for when you make that transition from STRs into the hotel space. So we'll get that link down in the show notes for you. If you have any questions, please feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram or Facebook. We'll get you all the details about that. I love talking hotels. Like for me, this is the fun thing. E had to like force me to not do the last couple boardroom calls and unplug because I love doing those calls. But yeah, man, I'm excited.
We did just fine.
Yeah. Oh, I had no doubt. It was more like FOMO for me. Of like, I truly enjoy 100%. Being on those calls and looking at those deals.
100%. Yeah. But that's the thing, guys. Like it's the life that you design that you love so much that you don't want, like you can unplug from if you want to, but you don't have to. And not doing your job makes you feel like, shit, I would like to do that. Right? It's the same way like I feel about working out. Like me not working out, I don't feel good about it. I'm like, I wish I could have squeezed it in today. Like, I wish I could have squeezed it in before flying. Like, anytime I fly somewhere, I'm like, I wish I could have squeezed it in because it's just part of my identity. It's what I love doing. It's well designed into my life. Live your life like that. And if you're not living your life like that, fucking change it. Because, like, this is the one life you have. Like, there's the one life, and there is a certain amount of times you can be comfortably uncomfortable for. But with the idea of just getting the fuck out and changing it and creating this life that you like. Because there's no second chance.
100%. Well, appreciate you guys for tuning in. Again, it'll be next Wednesday, April 3rd at 2 o'clock Eastern. Title's going to be From Host to Hotelier, How to Make the Transition from STRs into Hotels. We'll get the link down in the description. And I will see you guys next week. Hope you guys have an amazing week and we will talk to you soon.
Ciao, guys.
Hey, STR Nation, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. And in the comments, let us know what topics you want us to cover on upcoming episodes, and we'll make sure to get that in the books for you. And if you really want to learn how to launch, automate, and scale your short-term rental business, if you want to go deeper, then check out our free masterclass at strsecrets.com.